We got breaking news. President Trump blasts Senator Kaine for his anti-Christian tirade.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Monday, September 8, 2025. Welcome to Seculo. I'm Logan Seculo. In studio, Jordan Seculo, my brother, and Will Haynes. And we got a packed show today. We're also going to be joined by Jeff Balaban at ACLJ Jerusalem after we know there was a pretty vicious terror attack that happened overnight, or this morning, I guess, in Israeli time, in time in Israel, but overnight for us in Jerusalem. We're going to talk about that. It's been one of the first attacks inside Jerusalem in many years now. And this, of course, comes as we are still in the midst of the war in Gaza. We're going to talk about that. But we're going to start first with, you may need a little bit of a refresher, or if you missed the show last week, that's right, Senator Kaine, you may remember him. He ran for president, ran for vice president, was vice presidential nominee with Hillary Clinton.
Is still a U.S. senator.
Still a U.S. senator, still a known entity. And Will, set up what this was. It was a hearing.
Right. So this was a hearing before the Senate committee that he is on that was having nominees. This is some of the nominees were for ambassadorships. Some were for assistant secretaries of state. And this specific question was going to someone who was nominated to be assistant secretary of state for humanitarian issues. And he was questioning why the individual agreed with effectively what the Secretary of State himself, Marco Rubio, had said was policy, that the government doesn't give us rights, that these rights are given by God, and that we just the government is to protect those rights. And he was very concerned with why he would agree with that statement, even though it's in the, you know, Declaration of Independence, some of our founding documents.
Yeah, a lot of talk.
But
a lot of creator talk.
But this is what Senator Kaine, how he responded after asking and was asking this nominee about this notion, believing that that the rights of Americans and everyone comes from God, not the government, bite one.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the creator. That's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
And this morning, the president himself was at Museum of the Bible. There was an event there talking about many things, but one of the key things that President Trump was talking about is this task force.
And members of our team were there.
That's right. Yeah. Some of our attorneys were in attendance. But this task force that was created by executive order back in February, that the Department of Justice heads, and Pam Bondi is the chair of, but it is to eradicate anti-Christian bias. And President Trump made a reference to the senator in his statement today. Because of that, why we need such a task force, let's go ahead and roll bite four.
The need for this commission has never been more clear than it was last week when the ineffectual senator from Virginia, a man named Tim Kaine, stated that the notion our rights come from our creator is, quote, extremely troubling to him. Very troubling. Isn't it troubling? Isn't that terrible, though? How he would say something like that, and advocated really by a totalitarian regime. This is what they say. But as everyone in this room understands, it is tyrants who are denying our rights and the rights that come from God. And it's this Declaration of Independence that proclaims we're endowed by our Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, that's right. President Trump responding, such a change of tone, something you probably wouldn't have expected to see from President of the United States even just a year ago. So I'd love to get your thoughts on this, not just Senator Kaine, but the response from President Trump, even the fact that he is having an event at the Museum of the Bible, I think says a lot. Again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to have your voice heard today, or go to aclj.org right now. Get in your comments. Throw in there if you're watching on YouTube. Where are you watching from? Be right back. phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Jordan's in the studio right now. Jordan, our team in Washington, D.C. is expanding. I know it's something you've come on and talk about the last few weeks as you've been spending a lot more time there, including people that can go to events like this, can be part of these conversations. Sometimes you have ACLJ attorneys who can go, but it's good to also have government affairs because, look, there's a lot of busy people with busy schedules, including ourselves, can't necessarily get to everything you're invited to. Right. But if we have a big enough team, a strong enough team, it can happen.
And a senior enough team where they can speak on behalf of an organization our size. So you want people that have credibility both within the ACLJ, but also in the work that they do. So whether that's some of our top legal counsels who have gotten to know people around the country, our government affairs team who've worked in politics and in government, and our newest government affairs director, he has served five different congressmen as chief of staff, along with a number of other roles that you would serve in leading up to that chief of staff position. So that's huge. But I also want to make it clear to people, we can't get into too many details, but the DOJ task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias is something that we are working with. And so I think that, you know, it's very important for people to know that we're not just reporting on this task force taking action, but that we are working with directly the Department of Justice task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. The ACLJ is there front and center, and we are just getting started working with that task force, Logan. And I will tell you, having the expertise in our team from attorneys who are in their 70s down to attorneys who are just out of law school, having that expertise all together, it builds quite a team that the DOJ can then utilize.
Well, I know a lot of people will look at something like an anti-Christian bias, and they're like, oh, you know, this is like a rhetoric that the right wing is using. But you see what's happening around the world. We're not even just talking about America. You look at, and I'm not talking about the Middle East. We're talking about the Western world. Look what's happening in the UK. There are so much happening that if you won't want to label it anti-Christian bias or anti-Christian rhetoric, I don't know what else you would label it.
This is under the Biden administration. So under the Biden administration, that DOJ sought to squelch faith in the public square by bringing federal criminal charges, obtaining in numerous cases multiple year prison sentences against 24 pro-life protesters. So remember that, right? Then you've got not only the pro-life protesters, you've got the 24 Christians who were praying and demonstrating outside of abortion clinics. That's separate from the protesters. One of those was an 87-year-old woman. Another was a Catholic priest who was 75 years old. They were all pardoned, ultimately, by President Trump when he came back into office in January of 2025. We all know about the FBI targeting of Catholics. I mean, and this is in when the president of the United States ordered this task force to be formed by executive order. He specifically mentioned the targeting of Christians by the FBI of radical traditionalist Catholics. And remember, the FBI said that was just one field branch in Richmond. And then we found out through people like Garrett O'Boyle and others that we represented, these FBI whistleblowers, that in fact, that memo had gone out to thousands of FBI offices. To me, when I hear thousands of FBI offices, that's probably all of the FBI offices in the country. I mean, there can't be many more than thousands. I mean, it's like someone hit reply all with that. And so they lied to us about how many people it went to. They lied to us about, oh, we jumped right on and corrected to it. They did not remove it until ultimately we put our foot down and said, you must. Similar, that training that happened inside the military. When we had Operation Rescue listed as a terror group, ACLJ was able to get that removed by going to the Secretary of War now,
right,
and his team, and saying this should not be in the training. They said, thank you so much for notifying us. It's out.
And of course, this specific instance, for those just joining us, maybe you saw the title, it refers to Tim Kaine, Senator Kaine, again, former vice presidential nominee with Hillary Clinton, went on a bit of a tirade, very concerned with people who find that their inalienable rights are founded by the Creator, and that, you know, there are things that we should be looking to do that are inside of us and that God put in place, including life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. But he's a problem with that. You know, kind of a dogma lives loudly in you moment from Senator Kaine. And President Trump responded this morning at an event at the Museum of the Bible. So again, kind of a back and forth that you probably should hear before we kind of move on to the next topic.
Yeah, do you want to start with what the senator said last week?
Yeah, I guess we'll start with Senator Kaine. And again, he's questioning, he's pushing back, and he is deeply troubled by anyone who may hold these kind of beliefs.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government but come from the Creator. That's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their Creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
And so we don't bore you with the same clip again. President Trump actually went on and elaborated in his first clip. He talked specifically about Senator Kaine and how he had issues with what he had to say. And then he moved on and discussed the anti-Christian bias of what's happening and about anti-Semitism and things like that. Will, which bite?
Yeah, let's go ahead and play bite five, because this is directly responding after basically saying that, you know, it's actually tyrants that disagree with what the Declaration of Independence says, not tyrants that try to uphold that.
He should be ashamed.
He said, this is where he calls him out again, bite five.
The senator from Virginia should be ashamed of himself for many things. For many things, for things even beyond that. But in its own way, nothing's more important than those words. Oh, terrible words. As president, I will always defend our nation's glorious heritage, and we will protect the Judeo-Christian principles of our founding, and we will protect them with vigor. We have to bring back religion in America, bring it back stronger than ever before as our country grows stronger and stronger.
And Jordan, when you hear that from the president, one, that is, it may sound nice at a meeting, a gathering of clearly religious leaders. Ralph Reed is there. Yeah. Dr. Phil is there. There's a lot of individuals from all over the religious spectrum.
Religious leaders, well, like Ralph Reed and Dr.
I mean,
Phil.
That just kind of covers the gamut, right?
I know,
then
it's a broad gamut of people of who older, speak to faith issues, speak to issues of morality in our country.
And when you hear that from the president, it's not just the words that he's speaking, but it is backed up by the action. This first instance, the executive order was signed February 6, 2025. We know that, one, it takes time. You have to build those. It has individuals on this task force from across the government. The chair is Pam Bondi in the Department of Justice. But in addition to the chair, the task force shall consist of other following members: Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary, this was still of Defense at the time, Secretary of Labor, and it goes on and on. And we know that we are now working. We've already provided an initial report to the DOJ. We look to help in any way possible. Because, Jordan, it takes time.
It does.
Especially when you're coming off of a Department of Justice like we had under President Biden, where they were doing the opposite of this. They weren't protecting the religious liberty and freedom of Americans. They were going after that aggressively. One, you have a lot of holdovers. You have other people that wasn't their purview, per se, but they just weren't looking into these types of bias in the federal government. Not only do you have to have the individuals within the government change, but that's why groups like ours can be a powerful tool for the Department of Justice, because this is something we live and breathe every day, trying to put an end to this type of bias and attack against Christians.
Absolutely. And we are really excited about the opportunity to work with some of colleagues at the Department of Justice on this task force as it continues to broaden out. As Will said, it's not just a task force to eradicate what's gone on inside, you know, DOJ and FBI, though we have examples from that. It's looking at all the different branches of the federal government to eradicate anti-Christian bias from within. They have the most power from within when you're leading those offices. And I thought, you know, what is great about this task force is it's not just one department at the Department of Justice. It's a conglomeration of specialists from different departments who have different strengths that we're able then to work with. And so we're very excited again about the task force, and now that it's at the stage to where we can start taking action alongside them. And that is your ACLJ at work right there.
That's right. You should support the work of the ACLJ. When you hear that, you hear our teams are everywhere. Go to ACLJ.org. You can make a donation at any time.
When we have did communications sometimes, I mean, we've had attorneys in 4 to 5 different places. And I actually think that is really impressive to DOJ to show that the ACLJ, it's not just one office in Washington, D.C. These are attorneys spread out across the country. We've got active litigation ongoing. Some are joining from their phones. Some are joining from, you know, hotel rooms, because they are out in the field, arguing for the client's religious liberty. We're doing this work.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that even in the next segment. We're talking more about what's going on even in Chicago with the street preachers. There's some updates there. And again, a little bit later on, we're joined by Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem, head of ACLJ Jerusalem. As we know, there was a terror attack. May not have shown up on your news. A terror attack. Multiple people are dead in Jerusalem. Not usually where these attacks happen. But unfortunately, it's where we are, again, in an interesting state in this war between Israel and Hamas and the whole Gaza situation. Where do we go from here? I think there's frustration on both sides now, and I think we need to figure out how to rapidly end the bloodshed that's going on. Right now, if you can, go to ACLJ.org. I want you to support the work we're doing right now. You can donate or become an ACLJ champion. That is by becoming a recurring monthly donor. You can do that. There's an easy button. Just be a champion. Click that button. It'll be up to $5 and up, whatever it is. Welcome back to Secular. We did want to give you an update on some of the work of the ACLJ. In the meantime, though, I'm going to ask you to call in. We have a second half hour after this segment, which we're going to take as many calls as we can. We got some phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we're talking about the anti-Christian bias coming in right now and the anti-Christian rhetoric coming in from whether it was Senator Kaine or really from around the world as this is happening. And of course, we talked about obviously what's going on in Israel as well. We're going to be joined by our head of ACLJ Jerusalem in the next segment. Jeff Balaban, so you make sure you stay tuned for that. But Will, I know we want to talk about some of the work here at the ACLJ because there may be talk that there is this anti-Christian bias, but we know it. We see it in the streets. We're seeing it happening in real time. And we have actually a lot of cases right now, including street preachers in Chicago. They're going to be on trial this week. We're going to send our crew up there. We're going to make sure that's covered. Obviously, we have our legal team there as well. There are some victories from some GE employees. And of course, some homeowners, people love the homeowners association.
I do love it. Love
the old HOAs. Which again, former member of an HOA. So I think I have to state that.
Is that like journalistic integrity?
Like yeah. I am a former vice president.
Right.
Kind of like Tim Kaine, almost.
Never made it.
Yeah. I was like a yes man.
Right.
But it's okay. let's talk about though this work of the ACLJ. I know there is some more commentary also from President Trump about this.
That's kind of how I wanted to start this off. This is President Trump once again at this event this morning talking about this anti-Christian bias, because I think it's important for people to remember, while it needs to be eradicated, one, within the federal government, but when the federal government is tipping the scales against one individual or one group, namely, in this case, what the last 4 years we saw was this bias against Christians and people of faith and the way that they use the Department of Justice against them, whether it be prosecuting, as Jordan brought up, grandmothers that were protesting abortion, all the way to sending spies into Catholic churches. But this is kind of what set the tone for the entire country. And let's talk about how President Trump is pushing back on it. Bite 9.
Created the first ever Department of Justice task force to eradicate anti-Christian bias. And for those people that are a little bit naive or not well read, there is a tremendous anti-Christian bias. We don't hear about it. We don't think about it. You hear about anti-Semitic, but you don't hear about anti-Christian. Now, you have a strong anti-Christian bias, but we're ending that rapidly, I will tell you. We're in a much different world today than we were 1 year ago. This is like a different world.
And we have President Trump making these statements and talking about how this is a new place. The world feels much different. It has to start at the federal government. But Jordan, this week on Thursday, we have a trial in Chicago. If people saw the break video, we already won a victory for one individual that was a street preacher. But then the very next day, two of his friends were arrested for the same thing he was arrested for, but we got off with them. They are taking them all the way to trial. And that happened this week.
To federal court.
And that's where we are fighting back.
So in the initial case involving, it was in Chicago in the state court system, that was not successful. Big victory there for ACLJ and our supporters. So for these two others, exact same fact patterns. I mean, as close as you can get to the same fact pattern, same location, area, conduct. This prosecutor who's lost at the state level, now let's see, maybe we can find one of those federal judges who's a lot more hostile to these Christian actors and the message that they have. Let's treat them different than the people on the streets of Chicago, handing out paper they probably don't have permits for, to come see this concert or come to this restaurant or half price tickets, you know, for Wrigley Field. And they don't mess with that group. They arrest the Christian street preachers and try to take them to federal court this time. They lost in state court. So now they take them to federal court.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that, again, it's not uncommon that you wouldn't think you'd see.
Not these days.
You see street preachers, like I said, barkers that are out there trying to get you to...
There's wild stuff going on in city streets right now.
Yeah.
I would imagine that these individuals were the least wild.
That's what I mean. That's like what you fully expect to see in a city. You go to Atlanta, you go hang around like the aquarium. I mean, you get approached by every group, whether that is the ACLU or whether that is the Hare Krishnas are still out there.
All the tourists coming through, the groups coming through. That's like part of your stop. So they know this is where... Mm-hmm. There's a ripe group of people to speak to, and guess what?
I had a guy put in New York put a bracelet on me and said he was going to get blessed, and I said, I have no money, and he slapped me on the wrist.
They're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Well, so let's tell people that.
Different guy.
Don't touch people.
Don't touch
people. But
I'm saying they're not going after those people.
Because as long as they're on a public sidewalk, and other than the case of the bracelet guy, if they're just talking about their religious message or their political message, or their view on an issue like the ACLU or Greenpeace.
That's scamming you, yeah.
That's just looking for, usually for petition signatures and signing up to get more information. That we totally defend that if on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah, of course.
It just happens to be the Christians that they love to go against. You know why? They think we turn the other cheek. We don't fight back. We say, oh, we're sorry. So let's just let the crazies out there and the liberals out there. But the Christians, let's act like we have, kind of, no representation in our country or in these cities like a Chicago or New York or LA, where the Christian population, I'm talking about conservative Christian population, is still huge.
Oh, yeah. If you're talking about this amount of people, it's going to be big in this country.
Well, and once again, as we're fighting that, we also know the crime issues in Chicago and just the disparity between taking this to trial when they have a lot bigger issues going on. But we also have two victories, and to some people, they may seem small because it's not a national issue. I mean, as the ACLJ works with a DOJ task force on eliminating this anti-Christian bias, we still have to fight. And we do fight at no cost to the individual client to protect their individual rights. We have two victories that we just want to briefly mention. That one was for a GE employee who was fired after asking to take Sundays off just to practice his faith. We know federal law protects that. And we had a victory there and were able to get a settlement for this individual. And then another where an HOA... This is not the Virginia one we won last week. This is for members of this HOA in Colorado who were not able to have a Bible study in the HOA's clubhouse. We have a victory there. We are going to monitor it. She's about to have 2 days from now her first Bible study since this victory in the clubhouse. We will make sure that the HOA lives up to their end of the bargain. But really, Jordan, it's as it trickles down from what the federal government put on full display of what they said was okay to do, basically open season on violating the First Amendment right of Americans, that's why we have to go to these HOAs. That's why we have to fight these private companies that feel like they can get away with violating people's First Amendment right and their freedom of religion in this country.
That's absolutely right. Whether it is the government and, when the federal government... We've got friends in there who are, starting these task force. What we can look at is eradicating this from the federal government. And remember, the federal government is not just Washington, D.C. The federal buildings all over the country, your postal service, think about all of your Social Security offices, passport offices. When you go to airports, TSA, they're federal government's everywhere. IRS is everywhere. DOJ has offices everywhere. The courts, federal court systems are everywhere. So it's not like it's just in Washington, D.C. But then we also, we fight this out at the state level. And because this is a constitutionally guaranteed right, it doesn't matter if you're fighting this in the federal government or the state government. It's the same type of standing. You cannot violate the religious liberty rights of the American people, whether they are at a private employer or a public employer like the federal government. There are certain limits. There are rules that are in place. And we want to make sure, along with DOJ, that the bad actors are eradicated.
That's right. Hey, we got a second half an hour coming up. We want you to join us in the second half hour, whether it's on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, on Facebook, however you watch us live. That's 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. Of course, you can find us later on archived on your favorite podcast players, on YouTube, whatever it may be, or on ACLJ.org, the ACLJ app. But if you're with us, stay tuned. We have a second half hour coming up. If you lose us on your local station, find us broadcasting live online right now. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back. Second half hour of Seculo. We're going to be joined by Jeff Balaban, ACLJ Jerusalem, coming up in the next segment. I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We're mainly talking about the anti-Christian bias and President Trump's mission to eradicate that, whether that's in this country, which obviously we're starting to see more and more of on a scale. We've been talking about that in the ACLJ for years. We've got cases right now, whether that's our street preachers in Chicago, or whether that's going on well, the homeowners associations. You want to talk about that? Give me a brief homeowners association. Give me a little chat about it.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, I'm seeing some opinions about them.
I don't mean
in
them in
the,
general. I mean what they were doing.
Well, I wanted to talk about this. This is actually a lot more fascinating.
Okay, go ahead.
No, but these HOAs, and we've seen this across the country.
I didn't approve that new sign.
There was one that we won a victory in last week in Virginia. That one we actually had to take to federal court because the Homeowners Association refused.
They got some
even,
ego,
even
man.
After us laying out the law, like, here's what it says. Here's what you cannot do. They still refused to allow members of the community, dues-paying HOA members, to use their facilities if it was for a religious purpose. We won that. And then this one, this is for HOA members in Colorado that were not able to have a Bible study in their clubhouse. They were not able to use that facility as any other member of the community would because it was for a Bible study. We have a victory there. Our client will be able to meet with her Bible study 2 days from now. And we are going to ensure, by monitoring, making sure that the HOA lives up to what they have said and will allow that to move forward. And for people watching, once again, if this is something that happens to you, reach out to the ACLJ, aclj.org/help. No thing is too small because we will go for the individuals in Colorado or in Virginia with their individual HOA when their rights are being violated, when they are being discriminated against for their religion and not able to take part in their community, a benefit that every member of their community has except for them because they are Christian or religious, because they want to use it for a Bible study, a gathering, then we will be there.
Yeah, we've seen it at HOAs, so where you've got those country club kind of rooms set up, the club room set up where you can have community gatherings. A lot of times it's so you could, if you need more space in your house and you want to have like a party, you rate those out. Sometimes it'd be like the HOA
birthday parties, whatever.
It's whatever. It's a way actually for the HOA to take in some services so they can keep, you know, the yards and everything they take care of, keep it nice.
Yeah, if you have a community pool, a lot of times it's like, oh, there's a little, you know,
yeah, pool house. You want to do a birthday party and things like that.
I mean, I've been taking too long explaining this.
But no,
sometimes there's a hut.
But no, I'm just saying, you would assume if you live in that neighborhood, when it says it's open to all for events, and then they have their rules. But except they didn't put there, oh, by the way, you do everything but religious. No, they started coming up with that. They said, you know what? We're not going to let you be in here for political or religious reasons. And most of the attendees, if not all, I think 95%, live in the neighborhood already. They just said, instead of trying to cram all into one house, let's use the HOA. You know, we pay for it. Yeah. Let's use the clubhouse. And, you know, I look at that and I say, you know, this can happen anywhere in the country. And most people, because it's their neighborhood, and the HOA has their neighbors on it, say, you know what? Never mind. I'll just keep paying my HOA fees, even though they've banned me from using the service.
Yeah.
Our clients said no. We saw it in a different way, government-wise, in California, where there was that event space, and they would allow everyone to operate. And then they said, no, Christian groups can't show your movie here. So we won in both those instances.
All right, hey, phone lines are open for you, I believe, at 1-800-684-3110. If you were on hold earlier, for some reason it dropped, give us a call back. We do have some lines open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, Jeff Balaban's going to be joining us. He's the head of ACLJ Jerusalem. You may not have heard, because it hasn't made a lot of news outside of the sphere that we live in, which was multiple people were killed overnight, and this was this morning in Jerusalem. And again, this is from terrorists that at least Hamas has been praising. And this happened on a bus in Jerusalem. Again, and if you're not that familiar with it, this is not very common in these areas for this to be happening. I think this starts to give us another wake-up call that not only is this war still happening, but what needs to be done. I'm going to talk to Jeff about that with an honest, open conversation I think we have to have now of what this next chapter of the war in Gaza is going to look like. We'll be right back with Jeff Balaban. Phone lines are open. Seculo. Jeff Balaban from ACLJ Jerusalem in Jerusalem right now is with us live. Jeff, it's such a strange occurrence because my wife and I were having a discussion last night, like as we were laying in bed, got to go to sleep, but you know, my son's bar mitzvah was coming up. We've been talking about it, and you know, there's one big missing piece that we've not been able to do with him, and that is obviously to take him to Israel to experience what it's like. And I go, you know what? You know, one of our friends is hosting a trip there next month. And I thought, maybe it's time. Maybe things have calmed down. Maybe we need to discuss this. And of course, we were having the open and honest discussion about safety and all the things that could happen. And I was like, but you know, it rarely happens in Jerusalem. You don't see this happen in a lot of this. And we wake up this morning, and once again, and now, of course, a lot of the reports are, it's been a number of years since something like this has happened. A number of years is, a year and a half, 2 years? And of course, there have been other instances between now and then in Tel Aviv, and there have been plenty of things. But you wake up to the news, and again, it's not getting a ton of mainstream coverage here in America, that two gunmen, Palestinian gunmen, opened fire at a bus stop and on this bus, killing six, injuring quite a few. And again, at a moment where you know, Hamas praises it, everyone praises it, and you see this is a strictly, you know, specifically, this is a terrorist attack that happens, and it's happening now in the streets of Jerusalem, which again, I have friends that are there right now, of course, you and other people, who have great events happening and meetings happening, and they want to see Jerusalem, you want to see Israel thrive and reopen. But this is not the news that they need to wake up to when we're finally trying to get things back on track.
Yeah, there's it's really no end to the levels on which this is a tragedy and which is suffering for the whole country here. There's a sense of identity that the whole country feels. There was it was a very busy area in Jerusalem, a very busy bus stop in Jerusalem, people on the way to school and work. And what I'll say, what comes out of it, there's some extraordinary videos being played now on social media, on Israeli television, of, for example, a cab driver, middle-aged guy. There's obviously shots, people are fleeing. He gets up, he walks around, and he opens the door and he escorts an elderly lady out, his passenger. While he's doing it, like a bullet shatters the bus window right next to him, but he is trying to get her to safety. There are other videos of a young guy, obviously a yeshiva student, a Talmudic student, scholar, like who is also in the army, rushing in. And he is actually one of the ones who engaged the terrorists with fire and helped neutralize, as they say here, kill those terrorists. And so, you know, and then the names go out. The names go out first for prayers and then also for just condolences. So it's a public event, and it's yet always a very personal and private event here. But what you did in tying into the bigger picture, everybody here, the news especially, is tying this into the bigger picture, to the bigger picture of Israel's got to be tougher, tougher, and tougher. And all the pressure in the world that's pushing Israel in the opposite direction is just making it easier for these terrorists to do it. And the last thing I'll say about this is everyone across the board is saying it's very clear. This is not a couple of random guys showed up with an idea this morning, let's kill a bunch of Jews. This is a well-planned, well-stocked, really well-done terror attack that was unfortunately successful, as opposed to the literally over 1,000 a year that the forces here are able to stop before they get to this point.
Well, Jeff, that brings up a much bigger question that I kind of wonder what's happening in Israel, because we've seen some of the protests even happening on the streets of Israel. We saw the protests happening in Germany and all these other places throughout the country and throughout the world that, of course, are... look, Israel is losing the PR war. We've said that. That's been something that's been very difficult to overcome. When moments like this happen, though, you kind of jump to two things. And I was in a text thread. And look, there's probably things where you get frustrated and you start talking just because you're out of grief, out of sadness, out of anger, because you look at the world stage and go, well, what can be done here? And I feel like we're at a breaking point for a lot of people. We're either, Netanyahu and their regime have just got to go finish this, you know, however that looks like. You got to finish the war and take care of if their goal is to wipe out Hamas the way they've said it, maybe get that done. And then the opposite, if not, then maybe it's time to start looking at other options, because it's starting to get to that point of like when it starts boiling over into the streets of Jerusalem and it starts boiling over into the streets of all these other places. Why is that not where we're at here? Is it because of this sort of pushback, this PR pushback that's happening from you'd say the whole world at this point?
Yeah, I mean, Israel was unfortunately didn't really understand. They thought that they were going to actually, people were going to be sympathetic after the horrors that occurred on October 7th. But that sympathy lasted all of a couple of weeks. And then it flipped to this narrative of really the problem is that Israel never should have been here in the first place. The problem is that they don't mean that Israel shouldn't be, you know, where is Israel? It's not in Gaza. Israel left Gaza, you know, 20 years ago, all that altogether. So where should Israel not be? And that's what, going back to what people heard and didn't understand, that's what River to the Sea means. The objection here is to Israel's existence at all. It is a question, a quest for annihilation. And Israel really has been responding to that quest by trying to negotiate. But you cannot negotiate with those who have only one goal, which is your utter annihilation. There is no middle ground here. Only one of these is going to survive. Israel or some new Palestinian creation. It's obvious to me that it's in the world's interests, it's in the Middle East interests, it's America's interests, and it's certainly in the Jews' interests that Israel be the one that survived. The entire Palestinian concept, which was created after the State of Israel came into existence, this lie that Israel was occupying all their territory, these lies that, you know, there were never temples in Jerusalem, Jesus was a Palestinian, these are just lies. This is the indigenous Jewish homeland. There are 20-plus Arab states, there are 50-plus Muslim states. This is the one tiny little Jewish state, and they will not let it live. Israel has to be stronger and stop negotiating and just take the territory and say, we're here and we're not leaving. We're pushing the rest out.
And maybe they just get this done. I saw one of the influencers I follow, journalists in this space, sort of free speech journalists. She said, you know, what people don't understand is, you know, there's actually more Jewish people right now, or there's more Jewish people on October 7th than there were for years, because there was pretty much no Jewish people left in that area.
Right.
Everyone had left. But because they were hostages taken into Gaza, all of a sudden you had Jewish people back in that area. That had not happened in a number of years, as you said, not occupying. That's not what that area was. But I thought that was just an interesting tidbit of how did you get Jewish people back in there? By taking them hostage.
That's right. And Jeff, I also wanted to bring up that last year, the Israeli security forces say that they thwarted over 1,000 organized terrorist attacks, what would be something like this. So for people also to remember that within Jerusalem, this is a constant threat. I mean, that's, you know, three a day average that they had thwarted over an entire year. That means that one, the security forces are doing an excellent job of stopping that. But it is a constant threat of something like this that could happen, that could slip through. But I also want to bring up that this specific type of event, when they say globalize the intifada, this is the classic intifada tactic. This is the suicide bombing, the running onto a bus and shooting people. So when you hear people say globalize the intifada, they mean this specific type of terror. They don't mean rockets launching like Hamas does. They literally mean Palestinian terror by taking and targeting indiscriminately civilians on a city bus and making sure that they kill Jews. That is all they care about. And I just wanted to get your response to that.
Well, I think it means what you say. Well, it means kill Jews, but it means kill their enemies, which includes people who are not Jews. I mean, they're not shy about killing others in Europe or in America. And they say death to America. This is, you know, Israel's always been the front line of this. And people feel more comfortable, honestly, saying, well, this is Israel's problem. It's not. It is all of our problem. And that people being turned extremist by this and buying into this narrative, not just in places in the Middle East, but on our campuses in America. And that this is being, and there's also evidence being paid for and recruited by foreign terrorist organizations. People need to recognize this is something very serious that America has to deal with, and America does deal with. A friend of mine who, after 9/11, joined the New York police on intelligence told me that for the years he was doing it, he just couldn't sleep at night. So the number of potential attacks going on in America also. So it's not, my job isn't here to scare people. So recognize, number one, you know, this, there are a lot of bad people in the world doing a lot of bad things. Maybe it's more intense right here, right now. Logan, I wouldn't tell you not to have a bar mitzvah in Israel. Really, I wouldn't tell you not to do that. We could talk about that privately afterwards. And I'm still here, and people still live here. People are not running away, but recognize there's a real enemy to our civilization. And, you know, it's every segment we talk about on the show, these are the enemies of our civilization, whether they're doing it sitting in a Senate saying that rights don't come from God, they come from the government, or they're people who want to blow up your buses. This is a question of good versus evil. There's a Judeo-Christian idea that's being fought against right now, and we're living in that generation.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate you being there. And of course, you know, when we're talking about this, it's more, it just feels like every time it feels like there's a calm, something like this bubbles up and becomes part of the news cycle.
And I would say too, and Jeff, I appreciate you joining us and everything you're doing for us in Israel. But you know, this used to be the type of terrorist attack we're kind of used to.
Yeah.
Happening every few months, maybe a couple of times a year, and then Israel would come down. But when you add it to what the ongoing conflict coming from all these different directions, I think that's what makes people a little bit more nervous. And I know how important it is for Israel to get back to business at 100%, be that economic business or tourism as well, or you know, to have that bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Jeff, thank you for joining us. It's the reason we have an ACLJ Jerusalem. We can't do that without you, so I encourage you, obviously, to support the work of the ACLJ. When you do that, it helps our international offices as well. That's ACLJ Jerusalem. That's the ECLJ. That is all our other entities, some of which we can't talk about, some of which we can't. But we do have some phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. I always like to hear from you to wrap up this show. So if you're on hold, stay on hold. If you're not on hold, get on hold. This is the time to do it. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back with more on Seculo. Welcome back to Seculo. We do have a few lines open, so if you want to call in, a great time to do it. Helps us out, actually. We want to hear from you. There's thousands of you watching online, and I'm looking at right now the comments. There's thousands of you watching even on YouTube alone. So why don't you be part of the conversation by calling us at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take our first call. Let's go to Ronald, who's calling from Georgia. Ronald's listening on the radio. Ronald, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to point out the flaw in Tim Kaine's argument concerning what we believe God, our God, has given us inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But those rights are backed by 10 commandments. Honor your mother and father. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal, bear false witness, or covet. Those are common sense laws. He was comparing us with Sharia law, and I don't even know about Sharia law other than Mohammed was one man, and that probably all the laws came down from this one guy, and who knows what he was all about. So that was my comment, that Tim Kaine's a little bit off with that comparison of our rights and given by, you know, our God and their rights of Sharia law, right? Well, we don't know where they came from.
Well, it's a very different set of laws, if you want to be. I mean, yes, I mean, there are some religious connections between Judaism, Islam, Christianity. There are some similar stories that are built in, but the legal
law and the laws of man, what you're looking at
is just your basic freedoms.
Basic freedoms of being a human being is that, and what those protections should be. And yes, over time, we have, I think, made those protections broader and safer because, those were much more dangerous and violent times that we used to live in. But it's the idea that as a it starts at this point, as created by God with a unique ability in mind to make our own decisions, to rationalize, to what differentiates us from animals, is that there are certain unwritten but just natural laws that come from that. And it's really, most of it is how to treat your neighbors, how to treat other human beings with, again, murder being wrong, kindness being right, charity being good, robbing being bad. These kind of ideas that the ability to speak your mind should be legal and you shouldn't have to fear any retribution. That's what we're talking about here. And then you build off those rights. It's the exact opposite of authoritarian religious law. That is not what the founding fathers were talking about. They were talking about the basics that God instilled in human beings. But yeah, you have to start with that. You have to start there, that human beings are different than apes or gorillas.
Well, and as well, when you start to really dig in, him completely forgetting what the Declaration of Independence states, but even the following line after where our rights come from, it sets up what our system of government should be, where it says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We always say that. But then the very next line complements that and shows where the flaws in the senator's thinking began, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That they don't inherently have power. Those just powers are derived from the consent of those that put them in place, and that those governments aren't instituted among men to create the rights. They are to secure the rights, to protect the rights. And even if you look back at our history as a nation, is Tim Kaine really okay with saying that every right our government put in place from time to time was okay? That the government creating rights.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Right. I think many of the quote unquote rights.
From Virginia.
Exactly. And I think many of those quote unquote rights that the government may have put in place were actually flew in the face of what our Constitution said in our Declaration of Independence, saying that all men are created equal. Right. So just on the face of it,
and that man,
he should be a little bit better student of history.
Yeah, that man, aka kings and queens, should not be able to override those natural rights. Whether you are an Ayatollah, a king, a queen, a member of the monarchy, that you do not have the power to take away those basic fundamental rights we have as human beings, that we will always strive. Like you said, it's never perfect, but it gives us something to always strive for as a nation that cares about how people are treated here and abroad. So we always want to work towards those constitutional requirements to make sure everyone is receiving them equally. It's not to say we're perfect. It's to say this is what we want to work towards. We want to work towards perfection. We know we can't get there. We're human beings, and we have to right wrongs along the way.
Sure. And let's remember, we are in a very different time now. You know, people give a lot of grief to President Trump. Of course, some of his rhetoric, some of his language, and look, a lot of it I don't love as well. But I have to say, there's not been a president that has gone out this far in recent history. I mean, I really don't even know about in history as far as to take these issues of anti-Christian bigotry and some of the talks that have been coming through as clearly as President Trump. Again, you can argue the merits of whether you think he believes it or not, but the man is willing to say it. And that has been unlike any other president, like I said, in my lifetime. The closest you can maybe get to was George W. Bush, and he would usually get like 80% there, 90% there, always back it off a little bit. And look, I liked him, especially at the time, but you definitely didn't have this strong of words coming out of a president of the United States. You had political words. So let's hear from President Trump. Which bite you want to play?
Let's play bite four. This is the beginning of his response to what Tim Kaine had to say, as well as why we need this commission to eradicate anti-Christian bias within the federal government. Bite four.
The need for this commission has never been more clear than it was last week when the ineffectual senator from Virginia, a man named Tim Kaine, stated that the notion our rights come from our creator is, quote, extremely troubling to him. Very troubling. Isn't it troubling? Isn't that terrible, though? How he would say something like that and advocated really by a totalitarian regime. This is what they say. But as everyone in this room understands, it is tyrants who are denying our rights and the rights that come from God. And it's this Declaration of Independence that proclaims we're endowed by our Creator with the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
All right. That is from President Trump. We only have a minute and a half left in this show today. I want to thank you guys for joining us. You know, people are getting back to work. School is happening. When that happens, times kind of get changed for the ACLJ. We got to make sure we start moving into the next portion of our year, really the back portion of our year, the most important time. Because, Jordan, we are not only expanding what's going on in Washington, D.C., we are in cases around the country right now. This is when Supreme Court session starts back up in a few weeks.
Yep.
All of this starts to really start boiling over in October.
Yes, that's right. So people are back to school, which means the back to school constitutional violations start coming in.
Yeah, Christmas is coming, yeah, everybody.
We were already talking about that. You know, we've been talking about that on one of our legal calls today. You know, the Christmas tree, but can you have a menorah, this and that? I mean, it's all happening now. And that's why you want to support the work of the ACLJ today, if you can, at aclj.org. It's, again, it's a quick donation. It's so we're able to continue to do all the work that we do, but also expand on that work. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like something you heard today or even last week on the show happened to you or maybe someone you know, you contact us at aclj.org/help or have your friend contact us at aclj.org/help. Never be afraid to contact us. Our attorneys want to hear from you, and they will review it, and they will get back to you at aclj.org/help. We know this is when the battles begin. It's this time of year.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There you go. What he said.